Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
The USDA is really invested in regional centers to be able to help support efforts to educate our producers, our farmers, ranchers, our communities, to assist them with resilience, as well as how do we mitigate the impacts of climate change.
Carrie Castile, director of the National Institute of Food and Ag.
We all know that climate change looks differently, and so it really gives us an opportunity to really look at geographic innovation and to be able to support our partners like Cooperative Extension, who can really play a role in helping to support and educate our farmers and ranchers and community with providing them with information on the best available science, as well as how we can work together to be able to support climate smart agriculture and forestry and really look at how we develop these climate-smart commodities and communities.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
As we go into 2022, there are already certainly some concerns about, you know, whether these drought conditions, these dry conditions will extend through planting season here on the high plains of Texas. And, you know, what will that do, to this crop and the prospects for that crop? So that insurance price is really important to help us establish a good, robust safety net for the producer so that they can have, you know, the protection against those unforeseen circumstances, either from the market or from the weather that we just have no control over.
Sean Wade is with Plains Cotton Growers talking about the insurance price that is set for cotton. But, you know, there's actually a deadline that's facing farmers, part of the farm safety net under the 2018 Farm Bill. March 15th, that's the deadline for farmers to choose between agriculture risk coverage, ARC, or PLC, the price loss coverage program. Since 2018, producers have had the option to decide on a yearly basis which program best fits their operation and the decisions available for each base acre crop type on every farm listed with the FSA. However, given the current prices for most commodities, Dr. Gary Schnitke, an agricultural economist at the University of Illinois, says commodity title payments are not expected from any program option for the 2022 marketing year. Even then, if a condition resulted in a payment, FSA would not release the payment until October of 2023. Now, for soybeans, effective reference price is $8.40 a bushel, and according to a FarmDoc article, there's a 4% chance that the marketing year average price could fall below that reference price. For corn, effective reference price is $3.70 per bushel. At this point, again, commodity title payments should not be expected for either PLC or ARC, and if not changed, farmers automatically enrolled in that same option as last year. Effective reference price for sorghum, $3.95, and for seed cotton, it's 36.7 cents. Dairy producers have been facing a wide variety of challenges over the past 18 months, including another round of COVID-related disruptions to supply chains and schools. Demand, however, continues to grow. That's according to the National Milk Producers Federation. Exports of dairy products in 2021 were on a record pace, while per capita dairy consumption in the U.S. is at the highest level since 1960. In addition, demand for cheese, butter, yogurt, and sour cream is increasing. Fluid milk demand is down. The prices paid by consumers at the grocery store, though, reflect a $900 million increase in revenue for the industry over the past 2 years. Specifically, whole milk consumption up a half a percentage point. It's become the most popular variety of conventional milk for consumers once again. Finally, attendees in an upcoming conference in February will be focused on developing critical markets, dismantling trade barriers, and serving customers overseas. From February 14th through the 16th, U.S. Grains Council will hold their 62nd annual membership meeting in person, along with their 19th International Marketing Conference. It's Agriculture Today.
What can you get for 2 cents these days? How about new, more efficient wheat varieties? Better market access for Texas wheat producers and increased demand to your product. Each year, the Texas Wheat Producers Board achieves these goals by investing producer contributions to promote wheat through research, education, and market development. Who knew 2 cents could be so valuable? A message from the Texas Wheat Producers Board.
Ring in the new year with savings at South Plains Implement. Looking for a new ride? Get great deals and financing options across a wide selection of John Deere lawn equipment during the Winter Green Sales event. Have time to tackle repairs on harvest equipment? In-stock peanut and cotton harvest equipment parts 15% off. Ready to plow into planting season? South Plains Implement offering 15% off complete sets of tillage parts. Some restrictions apply. Offers end January 31st at South Plains Implement, where farm meets family.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
It's something we continue to watch, and I think, you know, some of that will ease itself out. I think as we look at several market factors, I think there's hope or expectation that, yes, we will kind of see some of those line speeds speed up as absenteeism becomes less of an issue.
Yeah, it is a issue. Absenteeism at Packer plant slowing things down. Lee Schultz with Iowa State University.
Another factor to look at is we're going to see some declining inventories. And you can even look in the short term as you look at cattle on feed over 120 days. Those are, depending on where you compare to, if you compare to last year, we're down 3% in those market-ready cattle. So, you know, I think that will help work itself out a little bit, but it's something we continue to watch because this is one factor pressuring the market, and it's really the salient factor right now.
After the market closed on Friday, USDA released their cattle on feed report, and placements were not expected.
Pre-report expectations had it at par with a year ago to up about 5%. It came in 6.5% higher than a year ago. There was one more business day in the month of December, so that could have attributed a tick to it, but I think it's really the fundamentals that continue to play out here as the West is dealing with significant dry weather. We're seeing that really increased placements of lighter weight cattle. You know, the important thing to remember here is we're kind of seeing this distortion of placements in the short run, but that's also going to have big implications in the longer run. So if they're placed now, they're not going to be placed later, right? And I think there is some you know, concern here from the buyer side, whereas you look at feeder cattle futures, they're $12 higher as you get into the summer. I think there's expectation we continue to see appreciation there. So there may be some early buying just because we're worried about higher prices as we get into the next several months.
And the dry conditions are causing possibly some producers to move their cattle to the feedlots early.
I think that's exactly the case. And obviously, you know, that's not our business up here in Iowa. But when you look at placements, the lightest weight category this last month, you've seen Kansas up 8% for the lightweight placements, Nebraska up 10%, Texas up 18%. So certainly it's where we're dealing with dry weather and ability to hold those cattle on grass, on wheat pasture. We're seeing those go into the feedlot. So, you know, again, we're not changing the number of cattle, but we're changing kind of the flow of that cattle and the placement pattern of those cattle.
And you've got some who are promoting this idea of meat shortages.
So this is an article I've been wanting to write for a long, long time. And being an economist, I couldn't help myself, I guess. And so we're all familiar with all the stories of what's being termed shortages. But in economics, we view everything as a scarcity, right? And so consumers want more than producers are often able or willing to produce. And so in some situations, there's increased scarcity, and I would say that that's what we have. A way to look at that is there may be a shortage of 99-cent ground beef, but there's really probably not a shortage of 4.99 or 5.99 ground beef because we've seen prices reflect the situation out there. So we've both seen an increase in demand as well as a decrease in supply. So that doesn't bring a shortage. It brings a price increase.
It's Agriculture Today.
For years, Texas cotton growers have had a trusted partner when it comes to choosing their varieties. Next Gen brand cotton seed from America. Next Gen varieties bred specifically for West Texas growers have performed year after year, even in harsh conditions. And for this year's season, there are several new Bolgard 3 Extend Flex varieties available. Contact your local Next Gen representative or dealer today to learn more about varieties suited for your needs. Next Gen, your West Texas partner for performance cotton seed.
Ring in the new year with savings at South Plains Implement. Looking for a new ride? Get great deals and financing options across a wide selection of John Deere lawn equipment during the Winter Green Sales event. Have time to tackle repairs on harvest equipment? In-stock peanut and cotton harvest equipment parts 15% off. Ready to plow into planting season? South Plains Implement offering 15% off complete sets of tillage parts. Some restrictions apply. Offers end January 31st at South Plains Implement, where farm meets family.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
The systems that you see, some of them are very new, but the concepts and some of these technologies have been available since the late 1990s. And the first question I'm often asked is, if we can do this in a textile mill, why can't we just use the same technology in a gin?
Vicki Martin, Vice President of Fiber Competition with Cotton Incorporated, on eliminating contamination at the textile stage.
Well, if these technologies are available in the textile mill, why don't the textile mills just clean up the problem? Why should we worry about how much contamination is actually in the bale? Wrong. This is all about the perception and the value of U.S. cotton. But additionally, these are not inexpensive systems. This is a burden and a significant cost to a textile mill to put these systems in. We traditionally have only seen larger volume international mills that are updating their facilities or building new facilities that are more likely to invest in these technologies. And they are not perfect. They do not get 100% of the contamination out, which we have seen directly in our own fiber processing lab at Cotton Incorporated.
That contamination primarily comes from plastic. Ed Barnes is Senior Director of Ag and Environmental Research with Cotton Incorporated.
You know, our other company is going to bring some competition to John Deere. And while we appreciate the technology that John Deere has brought us, you know, I'm really hoping that there's some companies out there that are getting ready to bring us some new ideas. And, you know, the question is, would a square bale wrapped in wire work better than plastic wrap, you know, as far as preventing contamination? You know, and I'll let Vicki weigh in on this one too, but I do see the wire definitely, you know, from a, you know, even, you know, a lot of sometimes in the gin and in the textile mill, they actually use magnets for you know, to remove metal contaminants. So yeah, I think wire would probably be.
And when it comes to new ideas, there's the idea of using wire wrap on bales, cotton bales, instead of plastic.
That's an interesting suggestion. Essentially, anything that's used to wrap anything is always the potential of being a contaminant. So we just have to think of what's the worst and the best. I would say, maybe putting on my textile hat for a minute, the first concern I might would have about a wire wrap bale module in particular is how well is that protected from weathering at the gin before it gets into the ginning process. That's been one of the advantages of the fact that we're wrapping those modules in plastic, and the advantage of the round module versus the traditional module covers, how much protection we're providing to that cotton so that it can be ginned efficiently with a minimal amount of damage. But We're always striving for the what ifs and what can we do. So it's good to have those thought processes on something completely different.
But before we worry about that, we have to worry about growing the cotton, managing nitrogen. That's what Katie Lewis with Texas A&M AgriLife Research is talking about.
So right now, with cotton prices being the highest they've been in decades at $1.06 per pound of nitrogen when using UAN 32, it's extremely important that we improve management strategies. So some of the points that I made during our project were really focused on the research that's currently being conducted to try to improve the recommendations that are currently being made. So we have projects across the cotton belt that are really focused on pinpointing what the optimum nitrogen rates going to be on a regional focus. Some of the research that we're conducting across the High Plains that's more regionally focused and looking at different cropping systems, we've identified that adjusting our timing of application to earlier in the season is going to result in greater use efficiency and less potential for negative environmental impact.
It's Agriculture Today.
The Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show is the oldest and largest event in the beef cattle industry, and we're headed to Houston, February 1st through the 3rd. Everything's bigger in Texas, so you can't afford to miss the massive NCBA Trade Show. Engaging speakers, outstanding education, all for the beef cattle industry. We've gone to Texas for CattleCon 2022, February 1st through the 3rd. Visit convention.ncba.org for more.
Making memories on your own piece of land is priceless, like skipping rocks across the watering hole, wetting the trot line, or teaching your youngster how to drive the ranch truck. Capital Farm Credit is the financial partner to help you realize those memories. We offer competitive rates and flexible terms on farmland, ranch land, and recreational property. Let us finance your dreams. CapitalFarmCredit.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Since the executive order was signed 6 months ago, the council's members have met every deadline in the president's order.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki on Monday briefing reporters on the Competition Council. White House says that councils had a 100% success rate in meeting every deadline specified in an executive order, including 72 specific initiatives.
These actions across a broad range of industries will bring real benefits to American families. For example, the FDA has taken action to lower the cost of hearing aids from thousands to hundreds of dollars for the millions of Americans suffering from hearing loss. It's becoming cheaper and easier for Americans to fix the things they already own. Following the executive order's support for the right to repair, the FTC will ramp up enforcement actions against illegal repair restrictions. Since then, big firms like Apple and Microsoft voluntarily announced changes to their policies so that consumers can readily repair their own phones and laptops. The Department of Justice, the FTC, and other agencies have increased efforts to challenge or block mergers that would leave customers with fewer choices, higher prices, and lower wages. For example, the Department of Justice blocked an insurance mega merger that would have raised insurance costs for consumers and businesses alike. So this is part of our ongoing effort.
President Joe Biden also on Monday talking about his executive order.
The bottom line, this isn't just about quick wins. It's about reversing decades of concentration that have hurt workers, consumers, and small businesses. It didn't happen any one time. It's been over a period of time now, a long time. This is just the beginning, though. In the coming weeks and months, Americans can expect to see more protections for farmers and ranchers selling products like beef, pork, and poultry, more options and better prices for consumers.
So what is that National Economic Council and the Competition Council doing?
What we've seen over the last few decades is less competition and more concentration that literally holds the economy back. And in too many industries, a handful of giant companies dominate the entire market. And we see it in big ag. I need not tell the Secretary of Agriculture that. He's forgotten more about this than I know. And big tech, big pharma. The list goes on. And rather than competing for customers, they're consuming their competitors. And rather than doing what they should be doing, they're doing the opposite. They're having a negative impact. All told, between generating higher prices and lower wages, lack of competition cost the median American family household, according to a study done at NYU, $5,000 a year.
Biden, speaking to reporters on Monday as well, talking about how the change is implemented.
My executive order is changing that, as everyone at this table knows. It included 72 specific actions for federal agencies to take and help restore competition in our economy. It includes creating a competition council, y'all, and comprised of cabinet members and heads of several independent agencies to coordinate and monitor our progress all across the entire federal government.
Peter St. Onge, an economic research fellow with the Heritage Foundation, just last week testifying before a House Judicial Committee.
Finally, this administration has conducted what I would characterize as a war on production, particularly on energy production in the form of regulations, mandates, distortions that can both hike prices and that can soak up an ever greater share of the consumer dollar, leaving less and less for the people who actually make the things we need.
He was arguing against any effort to stymie competition. It's Agriculture Today.
Take the guesswork out of preparing your cotton for harvest with NanoPro. Utilizing NanoPro's revolutionary nanoliquid technology, your harvest aids go to work faster and more efficiently, increasing leaf drop, reducing regrowth, and helping your cotton be ready when you are. Offering a 3-to-1 return on investment, you can't go wrong with NanoPro. Learn more or find your nearest dealer by calling Tracy Carrillo at 575-639-5110 or visit aquayield.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
So we've embarked on an effort to try to respond to those demands and those beliefs.
That's Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. He was speaking recently at the American Farm Bureau Foundation's annual meeting in Atlanta and talking specifically about the need to expand processing capacity in livestock.
The first thing we did was to make sure that we maintain the capacity that we have by providing some additional resources to reduce the cost, particularly of the small and mid-sized processing facilities that were faced with additional work, overtime, inspection fees that could potentially be crippling to their bottom line. And so we are providing some financial assistance. If you're a very, very small producer, roughly 70% of your inspection fees will be paid for a period of time by the government. If you're a smaller, mid-sized operation, about 30% of those fees will be paid. So we're trying to maintain the capacity we have. Then there are those who would like to see the opportunity to sell beyond their state. They currently have permission with our inspection system to sell inside the state, but to sell outside the state, they need to significantly improve and increase their inspection and their food safety capacity. They need resources to do that, so roughly 167 facilities received nearly $32 million of additional assistance from the USDA to expand capacity and to create new and expanding market opportunities. Then we looked at the mid-sized middle of the supply chain, and we heard the need for additional storage, cold storage. We heard the need for additional warehousing. We heard the need for mobile slaughter units. We heard the need for some facilities being able to expand, but they were having a difficult time accessing capital. So we put together a $100 million loan guarantee program. We've begun the process of having webinars with bankers and finance groups around the country to let them know about this 90% loan guarantee to make credit more available and easier for those mid-supply chain needs. And then most recently, we announced, as the president alluded to, a larger operation, a larger facility of grants and loans that can be used to expand either existing facilities or new facilities. We anticipate and expect in the next, hopefully 60, 90 days to be able to announce the availability of $150 million of that pot for projects that may be on the cusp of getting committed, on the cusp of getting started, but just need an extra push. We hope that $150 million in grant money will be able to accelerate those projects. We know that there are projects now, and hopefully these are projects where farmers themselves are thinking about cooperatively joining together and creating the opportunity for additional capacity and competition. We hope to be able to provide additional grant money in the summer for those projects and additional loan money as well. And so the goal here, obviously, is to provide the financial capital. We also know that another issue is workforce. And so we've put together a resource that can partner with community colleges, with unions and other organizations that are training the workforce so that we continually have expanded workforce as we expand capacity. And we've put resources behind innovation, recognizing that the large processing facilities have huge and record profits. They have resources that can be devoted to innovation. The mid and small-sized operations do not have that same opportunity, because the margins are very, very difficult. So what we want to do is be able to create their innovation fund, if you will, that's focused on a variety of innovations that potentially could allow mid and smaller-sized operations to be more efficient and more profitable.
It's Agriculture Today.
Every drop counts. Introducing the Patriot 50 Series Sprayer from Case IH that puts every drop of product exactly where you want it. Enhanced LED lights, a cab designed for all-day comfort, and more precise spraying technology. Because just like you, we know every drop counts. Visit your local Wiley implement for details on the new Patriot 50 Series Sprayer.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
And a lot of what's happening on the soybean market has to do with worries about spillover impacts from a potential Russia and Ukrainian conflict.
That's Dan O'Brien, Kansas State grain economist, on what's contributing to the soybean price moves.
And again, worries about what sunflower oil exports or shipments from that area might be affected. And also, I think not so much worries that there wouldn't be access at all to supplies, but more worries about how international response would be to such an aggression that would occur. And there's the potential that exports could get cut off, et cetera. That's affecting both the soybean complex and especially the wheat complex. Now, wheat was down yesterday. The March contract for electronic hard red winter wheat was down 3.5 cents, down to $7.96.5. With July, the new crop contract at 801.5. I think the thing that just stands out is, my gracious, what prices these are, you know. Again, with soybeans, the first 4 months on the futures over $14 for prices, and wheat either at or just below $8. It's just an amazing situation. When you look at the corn market also, March closed up about 0.5 cent. Then the other contracts, the March 2022 corn contract at $6.11, again up 0.5 cent. Other contracts that which had been up for the week generally so far in the week through Thursday were down just slightly with the May contract 6.10¾, the December contract 5.62¼. So these are also historically high prices and indicative of general worries that are occurring in the markets. We had been watching up until this week dry weather conditions in South America have an impact on soybeans and to some degree on corn. Now there are some forecasts for some moisture to come in down there, but it doesn't seem like that moisture, at least so far, has alleviated the dry conditions. So I think just really heady times in the grain markets, leaving people wondering, people on the selling side wondering where prices might go if they have any old crop grain left. And for new crop bids, which would have a lot to do with forward pricing for corn and soybeans for the next 6, 8, 9 months, those holding up really well. Wheat prices, again, in any new crop production we would have, would be aiming at the July 2022 contract. And again, that's over $8.
So what are the main market factors for this growing season?
Still, the number one factor is probably the U.S. economy. A relatively strong U.S. GDP is in the offing, but there are fears of inflation that could cause a recession and actually even more inflation. Second factor, of course, is the resolving of the dry conditions that have existed so far in Argentina and southern Brazil, and also in some of those other countries, other important countries, Paraguay in particular. It's generally thought to be hurtful to soybean production, unsure yet for corn, for first crop corn as it finishes up, but also second crop corn still to come. And then third, just really the battle for U.S. corn acres. The market narrative so far has been that U.S. corn acres probably would be down 2 to 3 million acres this year and that those would go to soybeans. However, you know, this battle we've had to gain access to nitrogen fertilizer, which is mainly an input for the feed grains for corn, sorghum, and barley, et cetera, that whole price action is indicative of farmers still trying to get corn in if they can. So really that the dates that we'll be wrestling with these issues in the market will come at the end of March when we have the prospective plantings report and at the end of June as we have the acreage report. And just lots and lots of opportunity for volatility.
Dan O'Brien's a Kansas State grain economist. It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com and texascrp.com, to view many properties we have currently listed in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Give us a call at 800-933-9698 to discuss these properties in detail. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
On the phone with Joe Guzman, Director of Sales for Equinom Smarter Sesame. Joe, 2022's here. You have lots of opportunities in sesame.
That's right, Stephen. We have grain handlers with 2022 agreements ready to be signed. Smarter Sesame makes a great rotational crop for producers who are planning for the new crop and season. With inputs on the rise, Smarter Sesame is a great choice for low input acres.
Joe, if somebody wants to find out more, how can they do that?
They can call 1-833-SESAME or visit equinom.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
USDA's January WASDE report made modest changes in the outlook for meat production.
For 2022, in terms of beef production, increased our beef production forecast by 160 million pounds. That mainly reflects higher than expected fourth quarter cattle placements that should be increasing supplies for slaughter later in the year. So that's reflected in the higher beef production forecast.
That was World Ag Outlook Board Chair Mark Dekanowski.
Pork production, on the other hand, we pulled it back by 80 million pounds, reflecting information that we got out of the hogs and pigs report that was released late last month that showed slower farrowing intentions for the first half of this year. And so that should tighten up supplies, hog supplies for slaughter later in the year.
There were no month-over-month changes to turkey production, but broiler production is up,
reflecting strong prices and a strong first quarter pace of broiler slaughter.
This is Stephanie Hove in Washington, D.C.